good day to be indigenous. Get up,
stand up. They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut. He didn't cut again.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Kutagi to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot, and we discuss local and national Native news and events. And as you know, Wendy, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Native Roots Trading Post, located at 700 Nicollet Mall in downtown Minneapolis on the first floor of the Dayton's building. We support Native artists.
Yes, we do. And we have Gina Peltier on stepping in for us. And we just are happy that she had her dog at the vet and the dog's okay. And you know, we talk about our sacred animals all the time, and our dogs are named after great chiefs and things like that. And so they're really, really important to us Native Americans, along with, you know, a lot of our friends and us, especially Wendy.
Mm-hmm, definitely.
So we're glad, right?
Yeah. Gina, tell us about what happened with your dog.
So they are my disabled mother's dogs, and my disabled mother does live with me. So since I do travel a lot, I really want to make sure that their health is always up and good and going, just in case I'm out of town and something happens. But this morning we went for a walk, and our walks usually, you know, take about a good 30 minutes. And we made it about a block, and she just didn't want to walk anymore. So I have two dogs, and of course they're my mother's dogs, and she named them Sansa and Arya. My mother is a huge fan of Game of Thrones, and it's quite funny, you know. You said that we name our dogs, our pets, our animals after brave warriors, and my mom did a good job. So we were on a walk this morning, and like I said, they do usually last about 30 minutes, and we got a block, and Arya, our four-year-old, just did not want to walk anymore. And the past few months, she has been lethargic. She's gained weight. Her skin's starting to flake some more, and I've been really, really concerned. Both of them just had their yearly checkups about over 2 months ago, and the vet did say, you know, if she continues to be lethargic, just go ahead and bring her in. And you know, as much as I love my pets, I just kind of, and I don't call, they're my family, they're my sisters, and really deep bond with these two beautiful dogs. And so I, of course, you know, I say overreacted now that we've learned some okay news, but no. They said, you know, the vet reassured me, like, no, you didn't overreact at all, you know. So it turns out she has thyroid issues. And the vet explained to me, when dogs have thyroid issues, they become lethargic, they gain weight, and then it's completely opposite in cats. Cats lose weight and have a lot more energy and cause different type of issues. But I'm really grateful that I was able to bring her in today. The vet was so kind. They did stay open a little bit later. It's Pet Cetera in Grand Forks, North Dakota. So kind. Always, you know, always patient with whatever I have going on, you know, with all my questions too, and very grateful for the vets there. So I'm just really happy that it's nothing serious. It's something that can be taken care of with medication, daily medication. And it's quite funny because thyroidism does run in my family, and my mother does have thyroidism also. So
kidding. Your dog was taking over the like, you know how dogs
she's one of the family, she's one of us.
Oh my gosh, that's hilarious. Well, it's not hilarious, but that's unbelievable.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, well, she'll be feeling. Oh, what kind of breeds are they? Are they so big dogs?
They are both Shelties, Shetland sheepdogs.
Shelties.
So
yeah.
Our oldest Sansa, she is 5 years old, and then we got her little sister Arya, and she's 4 years old. We got Arya because Sansa so much energy, and you know, I bring her for her walks every day, and she still needed to be play and still wanted to play and stuff like that, and we felt bad, so we got her a sister, and they've been inseparable. And that's another thing that caused concern for me, because Arya needs to be next to her little her big sister constantly. And so lately, we've been letting Sansa outside, and Arya just wanted to sleep. She just wasn't up for doing anything. And I was really scared because, like I said, we would go on walks that take like 30 minutes. And recently, she just doesn't want to do anything. So I'm really grateful that I was able to take her in and get her seen.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure she's going to be feeling better in no time after that medication kicks in. Very good.
Right. And, you
know, we wish her the best.
This portion's brought to you by Dog Talk. We talk dogs and no, but that, you know,
it's important to talk about
their family, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Wendy and Gina, they are family for sure.
Mm-hmm. They are family. I mean, even though they're my mom's dogs, they're still my sisters, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's just, I was so concerned. And like I said, I thought I overreacted, you know? But that's family, you know? If family is down, you get worried and you want to bring them in and make sure they have the best care possible.
Mm-hmm. You got to
get them some animals. They're family and they have feelings and they know what's going on. And she's really smart. She knew we were at the vet, and she's like looking at me like, really? What are we doing here again?
Got to make some ribbon skirts for these little pups.
Yeah. So I do got to brag, though. Shelties are so smart. When we got Arya, we didn't have to potty train Arya. I mean, she just saw that her older sister, Sansa, did her business, and that's just how she did it. And and Sansa was so easy to potty train. So easy. It's just... And they're so smart. And like I said before in our, on the news here, I've been trying to learn Ojibwe Mo'en. And so I've been teaching my dogs as well. So sit in Ojibwe Mo'en is nubba dubbin. So they respond to both sit and nubba dubbin. They know what it is.
Right on. That's awesome.
So for come here, it's ambeyama. So they know Ambeyama, and they'll come running straight to me. So I like to brag that I have bilingual dogs.
Wow. That's awesome. I love that.
Right. That is awesome.
Well, best wishes to your doggy, and I hope everything works out just fine.
Yeah. I mean, that is news, and I appreciate that. I know you got a couple things, and I think what we can do, too, is talk a couple segments about what's happening all over Turtle Island, Gina, and we got 2 minutes here to kick off that segment, and then we'll come back and do some more news, and then we'll have Nancy Bolio on today, and then Wendy doing her sacred animal segment, which I feel like we just did, too.
There's never too many sacred animal segments.
Perfect. Go ahead, Gina, kick us off. Give us a quick teaser here. We got a minute and a half before break.
Yeah. So I just want to bring up real quick that there is going to be a Flood the Courts court support event this May, this Thursday, May 19th at the Aiken County Courthouse in Aiken, Minnesota. Many brave water protectors have court hearings scheduled all throughout the day, starting at 9 a.m. So some of us will be showing up at 8:30 a.m. with breakfast, and we're going to be hanging out all day. And then also there's a park that's not that far away from the courthouse. So we're going to set it up to where we're going to be barbecuing some food for lunch. It's a great way to show support to the many water protectors who risk their lives and their freedom, sticking up for everybody's water. You know, and there's nothing wrong with peacefully defending our water, and charges should be dropped against all water protectors. You know, with the droughts and the wildfires, you know, we really do need clean water to get that all handled. But I have more good news. Yesterday I had to break some bad news that we had to cancel a Huber informational meeting, but Under the Earth has rescheduled it. So Under the Earth is going to have an informational Huber Town meeting on June 1st in Duluth, Minnesota at the West Theater, located at 319 North Central Avenue in Duluth. And Annie Humphrey and David Huckfield will be performing that night. And I'm pretty excited about that because they're such great musicians. So that starts at 6:30 Thursday, the 19th in Duluth at the West Theater.
Wow, that's a good kickoff. Why don't we come back here after a short break, Gina, and and revisit the news. It's very important to talk about our family, and especially our sacred family, which they all are. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and we'll be right back after this short break.
Stay with us.
J&S Bean Factory is a Native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
Unwanted sexting or photos, inappropriate jokes, even tickling or wrestling can feel like a violation. Catcalling, cornering, or groping, getting them drunk or high for sex. Recording sexual acts without permission. Hurting someone because of their sexual orientation. Raping a family member, a child, a date, a friend, a stranger. Purchasing a human being for sex. You make the choice every single time. Sexual violence is many things. Make a choice. Do not do it.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Minneapolis Public Schools wants to hire you. They have a variety of positions to start your career. You can work in the classroom as a teacher or classroom support, or work outside the classroom as a bus driver, in the culinary wellness department to help prepare nutritious meals, or keeping the building safe and sanitized as a custodian. Bilingual, bicultural, candidates encouraged to apply. Start your career in education and apply today at jobs.minneapolis.k12.mn.us.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is brought to you by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hey, I just want to give a quick shout out to Brenda, who always gives us a nice little statement on chat every day, Wendy. Mm-hmm. I really appreciate it. You know, shalom means peace, and yes, it does. We're all about that. So, Peeny Gigi for always putting that up, Brenda. Hey, let's get back to Gina with the news, Wendy.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Gina, welcome back.
Hey, guys. You know, Robert, Wendy, again, thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate you guys giving a platform for Indigenous to come out and speak about all the good stuff that's going on. So I'm Gina Peltier. I'm Mako Dewa Mako Nduta, Anishinaabe Ndun Jaba, Miganakwa Ji and Niniwa. I am Black Bear Clan, and I am from the Turtle Mountain Band of Chippewa. Two wildfires in New Mexico merged earlier in May have burned 451 square miles so far and has become the biggest wildfire in the state's history and is the biggest open fire in the country. More than 260 homes have burned and more evacuations were prompted over the weekend as the blaze moved through dry and in some cases dead stands of pine and fir trees. Huge columns of smoke could be seen from miles away, and fire officials and weather forecasts continued to refer to it as an unprecedented situation. Fires also were burning elsewhere in New Mexico and in Colorado. Much of the West has marked a notably hot, dry, and windy spring. Predictions for the rest of the season do not bode well, with drought and warmer weather brought on by climate change worsening wildfire danger. Colorado Springs enacted a fire ban after a series of fires have spread quickly due to hot and dry conditions, including a fatal one caused by smoking. Under a ban taking effect yesterday, smoking and grilling will be prohibited in parks in Colorado's second largest city, and people grilling at home will be allowed to use only gas or liquid fuel, not charcoal or wood. Burn bans and fire restrictions also have been put in place in cities and counties around New Mexico in recent weeks, with officials warning that any new fire starts would further stress firefighting resources. Nationwide, about 2,030 square miles, it's about 5,258 square kilometers, have burned so far this year, the most at this point since 2018, according to the National Interagency Fire Center.
That's crazy, Gina. I was in New Mexico or Albuquerque, and I couldn't really see the mountains because it was dusty, but because of the drought, but also fires everywhere. Mm. Everywhere.
Yeah. It's really bad for our systems. Remember last year, the wildfires in Canada brought all that smoke to northern Minnesota. And, you know, while we were on the front lines trying to stop line 3, it was quite damaging to us, you know, when we'd be out there, you know, trying to holler, you know, save our water, you know, yeah. And then we'd lose our voices because from inhaling all that smoke, you know, some of us did get sick and had to step out for a couple of weeks to recover. So wildfires are a serious thing, not just damaging our climate, but brings all that smoke that can cause so much disease and damage to our own systems.
Exactly. Exactly.
And then for the first time in history, mainstream media reported the U.S. federal government admitted that it funded and supported Indian boarding schools, and yeah. that Indian boarding school separation of children from their families has resulted in abuse, intergenerational trauma, loss of language, cultural identity, land, and death for tens of thousands of Indigenous children and more. The announcement, the federal government admitted that it operated boarding schools that have contributed to what survivors refer to as genocide and historical trauma, struck deep for Indian boarding school survivors and many others. The federal and state governments of the United States have dealt tremendous loss and suffering to the Native and Indigenous people throughout generations, including the horrific and systemic erasure of our culture and our children.
Yeah.
Finally, the truth is being told, though, and it is showing the impact federal boarding schools have had in Native communities, the link to disparities in health, education, child welfare, and many others. The investigation into federal Indian boarding schools was directed by U.S. Secretary of Interior Deb Haaland on June 22, 2021, after hundreds of unmarked graves were discovered at formal residential schools in Canada last June. Since last June, there have been more than 1,000 unmarked graves found at Indian residential schools in Canada. The American Indian Movement is organizing a fire on May 28th in honor of the 215 Indigenous children who were found in unmarked graves at the Kamloops Indian Residential School in Canada on May 28th, 2021. They want to call for the people across Turtle Island to go to a local boarding school site and light a small fire in honor and memory of the boarding school children. Theirs will start around 6 p.m. Mm. And, you know, that's just another reason that we need to start all this healing, you guys. Right. It's been going on for more than 500 years, and we're looking at the effects of it with all the burning fires and the floods and, you know, the big wage gap, but I just want to move on to some cool news, guys. The U.S. Postal Service released Forever Stamps featuring the abstract works of George Morrison, a late Ojibwe artist from Grand Portage. He was a founding figure of the Native American modernism. His work is now in collections across the United States, including at the Whitney Museum of American Art, the Walker Art Center, the Minneapolis Institute of Art, and the Philadelphia Museum of Arts. And congrats to our Indigenous communities for such a great milestone. You know, I can't wait to go to the post office and pick that up.
A forever stamp. Mm-hmm. That's cool. Yeah.
I think so. So as you all know, I do work with Honor the Earth. So grateful that they picked me up. I am a program developer. And so Honor the Earth, they develop resources by using music and arts and media and independence. And their mission is to create awareness and support for Native environmental issues and to develop needed financial and political resources for the survival of sustainable and Native communities. And I know last year we fought really, really hard to try and stop Line 3. And we had a bunch of events to bring awareness to it, including Salsa Tuesdays, where we danced on the corner of where an Inbridge was, and it was right across from a Mexican restaurant. So we would dance in the streets to our salsa music and hold our Stop Line 3 signs. And we peacefully engaged with whoever wanted to come up to us and ask us questions. And that's what really kept me going, is we had people who came to us and they didn't know anything about Line 3. And with them engaging with us and having a great conversation, we turned a lot of people to realize what's going on, and that created more people to come into our events. So I'm really appreciative that, you know, Honor the Earth does this, like peaceful events to bring awareness. And, you know, they have so much more events going on. And I just like to bring it up a few because, you know, we still are battling Line 3. We're still battling Line 5. We got wildfires going on because of climate change. And I know up here where I'm at, we got a whole bunch of flooding. And the floods are taking out roads, destroying the roads, which is kind of like, I like to tell people, well, at least Mother Nature is blocking the roads for us this year, so we don't have to, especially since they passed that law that now people can run us over when we're in the streets and not get in trouble for it. Like that really hits hard. You know, it's just like, why would you want to run over peaceful people who are taking a stand, trying to bring awareness to you that this issue is happening? So I just, you know, urge people to be careful out there. There are ways that we can bring key information to communities, you know, without having to endanger ourselves. And like I said earlier in the previous segment, you know, we do have that informational Huber event coming up with Annie Humphrey and David Huckfill. And I'm so grateful that they are willing to donate their time to perform, to bring people out to listen to the dangerous effects that the Huber lumber mill will have. And then I'm really excited about this event that's coming up on June 3rd through the June 5th. It's called The Water is Sacred, a gathering at the Headwaters. So this event is going to be held over a few days during the week in June. It's called the 4th Annual Gathering, and it's in northern Minnesota, and it's to honor the sacred waters and affirm Native and Indigenous sovereignty and explore the seeds of a vibrant local community in the making. So they're asking people to come and see, come away and see their shared work of fighting for a world where treaties are honored and where we're free of fossil fuels. So let's see. Apologize, guys. My computer's being a little slow here.
No, that's okay. I just wanted, we only got a minute left, and I just want to mention how, if you can, support Annie Murphy up there. She has the most beautiful voice. I remember at Winona's birthday last year up in Duluth, that she just sounded so great live, and you know, get up there and support her and support what's going on up there. And Gina, thank you so much, and thank Honor the Earth and MN350 and all the water protectors out there, because we wouldn't have the show. The show started at Dakota Access Pipeline, and we've been fighting in a good way, in a peaceful way, these pipelines going through BIPOC native land all over the country. So thanks again, Gina. We're going to have Nancy Bolio on next. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake.
Stay with us.
Life is a journey, and the Doherty Family College will help you get where you want to go. Located downtown Minneapolis, this affordable two-year college provides free textbooks, a laptop, meals, career coaches, one-on-one mentorship, and a Metro Transit Pass, making DFC the perfect pathway to a bachelor's degree. Turn your dreams into reality. Connect with a counselor today at dfc.stthomas.edu.
Hey, Wendy, what are we doing for dinner after the show?
How about we go to J. Selby's on 169 Victoria Street in St. Paul? They have a delicious plant-based menu that's compassionate and environmentally sustainable.
I'm getting their spot-on vegan Big Mac, the dirty secret.
You can pick up and they deliver within a five-mile radius, or you can call them at 651-222-3263 or visit jselbys.com.
Well, you sold me, Wen. Let's go order at J. Selby's tonight.
I'm hungry. Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
Things may be getting better, but COVID is still around. Stay healthy and up to date on your COVID vaccinations and boosters. Right now, everyone 5 and older is eligible to get a vaccination, while everyone 12 and up is eligible for their booster shot. Plus, you're eligible for a second booster if you're over 50 or received an initial booster dose at least 4 months ago. Getting boosted increases your protection against severe disease from COVID-19. Find a vaccination site by calling 651-304-9986.
Nightingale is your cozy, comfortable neighborhood restaurant in the Whittier neighborhood at 26th and Lindale. Nightingale has patio, dining room, and bar seating available. Plus, they still have takeout and delivery. Their menu has lots of delicious options like the famous Nightingale Burger and Fries, Ginger Tamari Chicken Wings, Smoked Chicken Liver Pate, and more. They're open from 5 p.m. to 1 a.m. daily with their full menu until midnight. So make the friendly neighborhood Nightingale your go-to restaurant in South Minneapolis. Place an order, make a reservation, and more at nightingalempls.com.
Hi, Minnesota. This is David Pakman, and you can catch my show weekdays at 2 p.m. for the latest in political news on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
We know you love your pets, so make sure to listen to the Pet Buzz. Each week, pet trendologist Charlotte Reed and Dr. Michael Fleck give you the latest from around the world with global pet news. Charlotte has the latest celebrity pet buzz, and Dr. Fleck answers your questions and keeps you up to date on all things pet health with Fleck's Facts, enhancing the bond between pets and their people. So make sure to listen to the Pet Buzz
every Sunday at 11 on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
The independently owned Next Chapter Booksellers is the perfect destination for your next book. The friendly staff at Next Chapter Booksellers are great at making recommendations no matter your age or taste. Plus, they have frequent events including book readings and meet and greets with authors. And they sell more than just books. They have a wide variety of puzzles and games, too. So stop in and browse the store off Snelling and Grand in St. Paul. More at nextchapterbooksellers.com.
With a look at your AM 950 weather, I'm Patrick Lulia. Showers and thunderstorms overnight with a low of 55, then clearing skies on Wednesday with a high of 72. Hazel's Northeast offers the most creative comfort food you'll find for any meal of the day. Hazel's is located at 29th and Johnson in Minneapolis, minutes from 35W. More at hazelsnetogo.com.
You're listening to Native Roots Radio. This is Spirit from Reservation Dogs. Get up and listen.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is brought to you by MN350, a grassroots organization fighting for climate justice.
Well, you know, they're coming up soon here. Reservation Dogs has already announced the date that they're going to be on.
Yeah.
And I liked what they did, Wendy. They gave you one show a week. But we're going to be interviewing Rutherford Falls actors here real soon, and then we're going to be able to play those on the show.
Yeah.
And we're really excited to be one of the media people that are going to be able to screen the show before it goes on and then ask good questions. I was going to say dumb questions, but depending on who's asking the questions, right?
It'll be awesome. Yeah.
Yes.
Two really, really great shows.
Definitely. Speaking of great shows, we got Nancy Bolio on with MN350, who is just an awesome warrior here. And I know she's going to be doing some things this weekend that she's going to talk about, and has a plea out there for some GoFundMe help. So let's talk to Nancy. Welcome, Nancy Bolio.
Well, bonjour. Always a pleasure to be here, Robert. Yeah, unfortunately, I had to step out of a Bemidji City Council meeting right now just to be here. And they are, well, they have approved a Bemidji Rail Corridor Wellness Center, which, again, you know, doesn't serve the, you know, the poor communities. And, again, it'll push out, you know, our relatives that are on the street and some of the local businesses that can't afford the new tax increases. So just here to get information, finding out ways we can protect, you know, our 1855 as well when it comes to them, you know, digging up the earth. Because yesterday, Robert, I got some new training.
Oh.
Cultural monitor training in White Earth. So I was invited to attend the training in the White Earth Reservation. And I think, you know, these are skills that we can apply to critical infrastructure so we're not just stuck to, you know, one specific job here, that we could take these skills and hopefully, you know, protect all kinds of other places that are under attack with capitalism and, you know, these pipelines and these mines. So spent the whole day doing that yesterday, Robert.
Wow, that's exciting. That's really exciting. So talk about a little bit what's going to go on this weekend. I know you're coming from the deep north to the deep south. What's happening and how can we support you?
Right. Christian Taylor Johnson, Tyler Opegard Peltier, and myself are delegates and alternates to the Minnesota DFL State Convention. And we were honored to know that our treaty resolution in Beltrami County had the most votes. So our goal is to go to the state convention and speak to our treaties, because, again, we're all treaty people. So we're traveling from up north down to Rochester, Minnesota, which is about a six-hour drive, maybe an eight-hour. Wow. I'm not too sure. It's a long ways. But we have cost of an Airbnb for the weekend, you know, the food and all, the registration. So it doesn't come cheap. Again, you know, some of these people, you know, that go, you know, find financial hardship like ourselves to attend. So we're asking, you know, everybody and anybody, $5, $10, anything helps. And we leave this Friday. And unfortunately, we haven't had any givers since the last time I made the ask last Tuesday. So we're hoping we have some listeners out there that really believe in the good work that we're already doing. And we're there to defend the treaties and be a voice for our people. And we're also there to build power within a party, because we know that, you know, a lot of the elected officials forget, you know, who we are after they get our votes and win their campaigns. So we're there as a treaty people delegation, and we're going to represent our treaty resolution and hopefully be able to speak to those on the floor on Sunday.
Yeah, it's just to let our allies know that are listening to us in Madison and Milwaukee and Chicago and the Twin Cities, is that the treaties go both ways, Nancy. And I know, you know, we're a broken record talking about this, but I think it's great to bring it up and be really clear about that.
Right. You know, that's what our history books are not telling everybody, you know, the truth. And so it's up to people like ourselves and all the great warriors out there that are spreading the word that treaties are very much alive. And we have to remind people that their ancestors signed them with our ancestors. And if their house or their business is occupied on treaty land, they are still benefiting from those treaties. And they, too, have a current obligation to uphold the treaties, and it's not okay to ignore them just because the past has. We're trying to do right, and doing right is, you know, honoring those treaties and our self-determination to say no to critical infrastructure or say yes to whatever we feel is good. And we know what is good, Robert, is living simple and getting back to our original instruction to live in a green kind of a way and live in peace. So we're at the convention on Saturday to speak to those treaties. And currently our treaties are on the action agenda for the DFL party from 2018. So we're kind of pushing this work forward. So this ain't our first rodeo. I know it's a lot of work to be there, and I'd rather be out working in my garden. But again, you know, if we're not there, we probably won't see people speaking to the treaties in a way that we would. So we feel honored, and we kind of feel like there's going to be a whole lot of things going on in a different kind of way because of the COVID precautions are taken at the state convention. But we know we're showing up in the best way with good intentions, and it's going to be really hard not to notice us, and that's all I could say for now.
Well, I think when you are talking to allies and people with an open heart and open ears, and they hear this for the first time, you will really be educating a lot of allies out there. And I think, I shouldn't say I think, I know that this is a good thing. This is a good thing for both ways. It's a good thing for you. It's a good thing for our Native community. And it's a great thing for our allies to hear about this because, you know, we don't say this a lot. We talk about treaties, but treaties is the supreme law of the land if you follow the Constitution.
Right. And, you know, I think looking back at Camp Firelight and the position that we had with Sheriff Darren Halverson of Clearwater County, he's a fine example of what it looks like to honor the treaties as a non-Native person. And, you know, that's why our occupation was for 8 days, because we, as, you know, the treaty keepers, we control the narrative. We honored and respected his authority, and we held on to it, the sheriff's authority. He maintained that in his own county. And, you know, we held back the Northern Lights Task Force, you know, twice, Robert. Those are small wins, but they're big wins. So what we're doing now is we're continuing to write the story of what it looks like to stand in a healthy treaty partnership. And what does the future bring for us collectively? And how do we, you know, get back to our original instruction so we can leave this earth in a better way than we found it and protect the seven generations?
Wow, that's well said. And I think so if you're going to GoFundMe, you can look up We Are Treaty People, or We Are All Treaty People, and you should be able to find your GoFundMe to help support you guys driving 8 hours to get down here and speak the truth that everybody needs to hear. So let's get out there.
Right. And again, you know, even $5, $10, anything really helps us right now, because it does take, you know, an arm and a leg to go. And we're excited to, if we can't broadcast live, we're excited to go live stream, you know, on Facebook and get our story out and our presence known at the state convention. Again, treaties are nonpartisan, and we hope, you know, someday soon that we get inside of the Republican Party and remind them, you know, we're all treaty people. But this is a learning lesson within the DFL, and how do we show up and continue to show up in a good way and make some good ground, because I think we have, and we are going to continue to make some good work happen. And I think, you know, this weekend is a big part of that. And so I'm going to come back, Robert, with no voice. I might not be able to show up Tuesday. Depends on where my voice is, because I know from 2018 I did come home and I didn't have a voice, but it was worth speaking to every single person about treaties and getting them to sign the petition and giving us the opportunity to speak on the floor. And so we got a lot of hard work, Robert. And if you're there, we're going to put you to work too.
Oh, yeah, definitely. So it's exciting. Talk a little bit about MN350 before we let you go. A little bit about the organization that you are working with.
Right. I'm the Northern Organizer for Minnesota 350. We are an environmental and racial justice nonprofit, and I am the lead for our work in Northern Minnesota. And just this last Sunday, we had our second convening for the Native Community Leadership Gathering. And again, that's a part of that. We are all treaty people work here in Northern Minnesota, and we look forward to our third convening, where we're going to call in more of our relatives and our allies to create a community here in Northern Minnesota based around treaty obligations. So again, we're excited for all the good work that we need to do yet, Robert.
Wow, perfect. You get going. Thank you for stopping in. I know you're really busy, and I can't wait to hear what happened this weekend. And you might have to use sign language and get on StreamYard with us, but I can't wait to hear. So, Pinigi, thank you so much for all you do, Nancy Bolio.
All right. Have a good night, everyone.
Oh, wow, Wendy. Nancy is just amazing.
She is a person to be reckoned with.
Yes.
So, yeah. So hopefully people will give some money to the GoFundMe. What is it again? We are all treaty people.
Yes.
And you could find their GoFundMe link on that page. And if everybody just gave a dollar, we'd have a lot of money. So
we'll be doing that after the show because definitely, you know.
It's a very good cause. And we need people like Nancy and the organizations that show up there and speak the truth and bring awareness.
Well, and I think that's really like the amazing part is bring awareness because I think once people are educated, know which will happen this weekend, they will become treaty people too.
Right.
And so that's the big picture. Mm-hmm. But again, great report from Gina about her puppies and the news, and Nancy Bolio, what's happening all over Turtle Island with the treaties and the DFL convention, the Democrat Farmer Labor Organization is having their convention this weekend. So up next, Wendy, can you give us a 10-second teaser? What are we going to
I'm going to tell you about my experience just that I had this afternoon grooming our dogs. And then I'm going to be talking about a wild cat that I talked about last year. I have an update.
I used to be a groovy cat. Hey, we'll be right back after this short break.
Stay with us.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States. And 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected. Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf. Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy. As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired. Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
Are you nervous to go to your mailbox and see one more past due mortgage bill? You could qualify for financial assistance through Home Help MN if you have fallen behind on your mortgage payments due to the pandemic. This Minnesota housing program even has money available to help with other past due mortgage-related expenses. Learn more at homehelpmn.org or call 1-800-388-3226.
Navigating COVID while protecting yourself can be difficult. Fortunately, there's a hotline you can call with any questions. The Department of Indian Work St. Paul partnered with the Minnesota Department of Health to open the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline. They provide information on vaccines, booster shots, and testing sites. Right now, booster shots are available to anyone over the age of 18 for those who are eligible. The Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline can also help with housing, food, medical, and educational support. If you or someone you know has questions about COVID-19, vaccinations, booster shots, or testing, please call 651-304-9986. Again, the number is 651-304-9986. The Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline is open for calls Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Call the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline at 651-304-9986.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
Howl!
Howl!
Oh, wait.
Yeah, you got to get that wolf up.
What the heck?
Slow on the uptake here. Boy. That's all right.
Oh. Okay. Hey, I want to introduce you all over again, Wendy, my awesome, beautiful wife. You've been an animal advocate for many years, and you talk about animal issues on the show. And that fits right with us because they are sacred to us and they're our relatives. So really, thanks for all you do. And I say this every time, but I learn so much.
Yeah, I learn a lot too by looking things up and finding articles and things like that. So yeah. Hey, everybody. My name is Hanajihihani. That means cares for them. I was given the given that name by my Dega Curtis. Curtis goes by Mashke Hanajinga, which means walks on white clouds. I'm a humane policy volunteer leader for the Humane Society of the United States, and I work on animal issues at the local and state level, and it's always my pleasure to do that. But this afternoon, you know, we have two dogs, Robert and I, and they are both rescues. They're small dogs. One is a Shih Tzu and one is a Maltese. And I have brought them to groomers to get them groomed. And it just seems that it doesn't really work out because they're not, they're kind of, you know, they're rescue dogs and they've had a lot of trauma, both of them, in their past, you know, in their lives before we had them. So there's a little picture of Wanda. That's the Shih Tzu. And she, if you let her hair just grow, because these type of dogs are hypoallergenic and they also don't shed, but they also grow hair. So they don't have like regular dog fur. They have hair that grows. So their hair needs to be trimmed. So today I took it upon myself, which I do every few months. I bought a...
6 months.
6 months. Every listen, I should be doing it every 3 months. I just need to do it. I need to groom them because their hair gets out of control. They get matted. They look like, you know, two balls of fur, and they're just a mess, and they get tangled, and it's uncomfortable for them. Plus, it's getting warm out. So I spent literally 2.5 hours in our back porch here, and it's like torture. Torture for the dogs and torture for me, too, because it's hard to do. But anyway, they look much better now. But I was just like really thinking about like, why were these dogs ever bred? Like, why would you breed a dog that grows hair and needs to be groomed regularly? So I kind of was looking up, you know, a Shih Tzu. And it says,
be careful, we're, you know, on radio.
Yeah, the Shih Tzu was bred to sit around the palace of the Emperor of China and bark when people or animals, you know, approached. This was allegedly to alert people to the presence of unwanted visitors. But the Shih Tzu soon became a favorite of the Imperial Chinese court as companion dogs rather than working dogs. You know, she's a little dog. She's 10 pounds. She's as cute as anything, and she's adorable. Maltese is our dog, Gracie. Gracie, as many people know, was a female breeder dog in a puppy mill. She was there for 7 years, and she's been out for 5, so she's doing okay. But the Maltese are one of the most ancient small dog breeds and are thought to be bred or at least evolved into being lap dogs for the wealthy. The name Maltese comes from the island of Malta in the Mediterranean, where Maltese are thought to have had their origins. Maltese evolved into the status symbol for aristocrats to flaunt as a sign of wealth and prestige. So I didn't really know that until I looked that up today.
Wow.
And I just... You know, I just think that getting a dog that you need to cut their hair and groom is a hard thing. But if you get them as puppies and you find a good groomer and it's maybe not so traumatizing, I think that Gracie, the Maltese that we got, who was in the puppy mill, they probably groomed her maybe once a year, really rough and very, you know, they
just,
you know,
quickly
groomed her, you know, pulled her hair, ripped her hair, and wasn't very nice about it. So she does have trauma about it.
Whenever she hears or sees the buzzer,
she does. She starts to shake, but she's okay now. I gave her a haircut. That's why it takes me so long, because I really take my time. I give her breaks, I give her treats, I give her kisses, and you know, try to do it in a nice way so she doesn't. So last year I was talking about this pet tiger who was rescued from a Houston neighborhood. And right now I just want to know that, want everyone to know that this dog is thriving and happy after 1 year at the sanctuary.
Tiger, you mean, not dog.
Oh, what did I say? A dog?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. It must be my allergy medication I'm taking. So a pet tiger rescued. No, I'm not. Pet tiger rescued from the Houston neighborhood is thriving and happy after 1 year at the sanctuary. India, the tiger, has spent the past year at the Cleveland Armory Black Beauty Ranch in Texas, building up his strength and enjoying plenty of play. India, the tiger, is celebrating a year of comfort and safety, which we're really happy to report. In May 2021, Houston residents spotted the nine-month-old tiger prowling around neighborhood yards. The exotic pet owner gave the animal to authorities shortly after India made headlines for being out on the street. After India's former owner surrendered the tiger, the big cat moved to the Cleveland Armory Black Beauty Ranch, an animal sanctuary in Texas that is part of the Humane Society of the United States. India has now lived at a 1,400-acre sanctuary for a year, has grown from 134 pounds to 251 pounds, and will turn two in August. According to the release from HSUS, which is the Humane Society of the United States, it took some time for India to acclimate to his new home. When the big cat first arrived, he was accustomed to receiving lots of human attention and didn't want to be left alone. To help India embrace more natural lifestyle, sanctuary staff had social visits with the tiger outside his enclosure, which gradually decreased over time as India became more independent. The tiger also had to build up strength in his back legs because life as a house pet prevented him from developing muscles through running. With the room to run and jump at full speed at the sanctuary, India has built his strength and now enjoys tearing through his expansive home. Once India developed more confidence, independence, and physical strength, his natural behaviors and wild instincts kicked in. He is thriving and happy, always busy stalking, hiding in the tall grass, pouncing on balls and boxes, and experiencing other enrichment activities. Noel Almrund, a senior director at the Black Beauty Ranch, said in a statement. He also loves to climb and swim or just take long naps under a tree. He is highly curious about his sanctuary neighbors, including Sammy, a former circus bear.
Sammy.
Yeah. India likes to peek over the divider wall between them to see what's going on. We're looking forward to watching India mature and continue to enjoy his life here, where he will be properly cared for and never have to worry again, she added. Kitty Block, the CEO of HSUS, hopes that India's story encourages people to avoid exotic pet ownership.
Exactly.
Yeah, we got to keep the wild pets in the wild.
Well, hey, Wendy Pinigigi, thank you so much for bringing that up. Thank you to Gina Peltier and Nancy Bolio. And I don't know, you got 20 seconds.
Yeah.
Tell us what you...
The Big Cat Public Safety Act would prohibit keeping big cats as pets. So we're trying to get that bill passed. It's called the Big Cat Public Safety Act.
We'll be back tomorrow.
Free Leonard Peltier.